The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth in the world's greatest salmon fishery through investments in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA. We are on board with you.
This is KDLG's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. I'm Mike Mason. Coming up on today's show, a tender is capsized in the mouth of the Agushik River, resulting in the closure of the set net fishery in the Agushik section of the Nooshigak District. We'll also get an update from the Coast Guard and hear how the Alaska Department of Fish and Game is responding. All of that and more is coming up on today's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report, but first, here are the latest announcements from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Dillingham with an announcement regarding commercial and subsistence fishing in the Nooshigak District. This is Westside Salmon Announcement Number 20, issued Sunday, June 30th at 12 p.m. The cumulative Wood River sockeye salmon escapement at 6 a.m. was 817,000. Agushik River escapement is 164,000. The Nooshigak River sockeye salmon escapement through June 29th was 696,000. The king salmon escapement was 66,868. There are 371 permits registered to fish in the Nooshigak District. The commercial harvest yesterday was 213,000 sockeye salmon, making the cumulative harvest 1.85 million. Effective immediately, the area within 6 statute miles of 58 degrees, 43.82 minutes north latitude, 158 degrees, 52.77 minutes west longitude, is closed to all commercial fishing. Set gillnet fishing in the Agushik section remains closed. As previously announced, commercial fishing with drift gillnets in the Nooshigak District opened at 10 a.m. this morning. This opening is extended until 5 p.m. July 1st. Fishermen should be aware that a tender rolled over in the Agushik River this morning. There is the potential for fuel being in the water. The department will monitor the situation and respond as needed. Subsistence users are reminded that subsistence fishing on the Dillingham beaches goes to the 3-day-per-week schedule starting July 2nd. The 3-day-per-week schedule is Monday, 9 a.m., to Tuesday, 9 a.m., Wednesday, 9 a.m., to Thursday, 9 a.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m., to Sunday, 9 a.m. Please note that this represents a change from the historical schedule. This has been the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Dillingham.
This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in King Salmon with the announcement for Igigik and Ugashik District commercial fishermen. The time of this announcement is 12 noon and the date is Sunday, June 30th. In Igigik, catch from yesterday's opener was 331,000. Through June 29th, cumulative harvest is 2.8 million. Escapement on Saturday was 90,000, and cumulative escapement is 603,000. Allocation is 18% set gillnet and 82% drift gillnet. Commercial fishing will be permitted in the Igigik District with drift gillnets from 4 p.m. until 11 p.m. Sunday, June 30th, a 7-hour period, and again from 5:45 a.m. until 1:45 p.m. Monday, July 1st, an 8-hour period. Commercial fishing with set gillnets will be permitted from 5:45 a.m. until 1:45 p.m., Monday, July 1st, an 8-hour period. In Ugashik, catch from Saturday was 205,000. Through June 29th, cumulative catch is 1.6 million. Escapement on Saturday was 25,000. And through June 29th, cumulative escapement is 73,000. Travel time from the district to the tower appears to be about 5 days. Commercial fishing will be permitted with set gillnet gear from 3:30 a.m. until 1:30 p.m. Monday, July 1st, a 10-hour period. Commercial fishing with drift gillnet gear will be permitted from 5 a.m. until 12 p.m., Monday, July 1st, a 7-hour period. Fishermen in both districts should stand by at 12 noon, Monday, July 1st, for the next possible announcement. This has been the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and King Salmon.
This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and King Salmon with an announcement for commercial permit holders in the Naknek-Quijack District. The time is 3 p.m. and the date is Sunday, June 30th. The cumulative sockeye estimate past the Naknek Tower through June 29th is 410,000. For the Quijack River, 400,000 have passed the tower. The in-river estimate for the Quijack River is 300,000. The current set gillnet period in the Naknek-Quijack District will be extended 25 hours and will close at 4 a.m. on Tuesday, July 2nd. The Naknek section of the Naknek-Quijack District will open a drift gillnet gear for 2 7.5-hour periods, the first from 7 a.m. until 2:30 p.m. Monday, July 1st, and then again from 8:30 p.m. Monday, July 1st, until 4 a.m. Tuesday, July 2nd. The next announcement for the Naknek-Quijack District will be at 3 p.m. on Monday, July 1st. This has been the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and King Salmon.
You're listening to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report here on KDLG. The report will continue in a moment. Listening to KDLG's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. The 78-foot tender Lone Star has capsized in the mouth of the Agushik River. The tender was working for Trident Seafoods. Trident and the U.S. Coast Guard are responding to the incident. Petty Officer Jonathan Klingenberg is a spokesman for Coast Guard Sector Anchorage. He admits that the weather is impacting the response effort.
The ceiling is a little bit low for us to get aircraft up in the air, but we're in the pollution response phase of it right now, to where if it does start, you know, leaking whatever fuel that it has on board, that we'd be able to contain it. Basically, the safety of the responders and the safety of the natural habitat around where this turned over is our number one priority.
So far, there have been no reports of fuel in the water, but the Lone Star is apparently still at anchor in the mouth of the Agushik River. However, it's upside down. Klingenberg confirms that all of the crew on board the tender made it safely off the vessel.
From reports of the master of the vessel, they were at anchor, and when the tide changed, the chain drug against their boat and popped off the transducer and caused them to start taking on water. Within 30 minutes of the report of them saying that, hey, we're going to be in trouble here, there was a local Good Samaritan fishing vessel nearby, and they were able to safely remove the crew from the vessel.
The crew of the Lone Star are being taken to Dillingham, and they're expected to arrive sometime on Monday. Klingenberg confirms that the vessel is apparently upside down in the mouth of the river, and he believes it is still at anchor.
There's no reports of any pollution right now. Obviously, it is a motor vehicle of some kind, and there is stuff on board, but there's no reports of pollution at this time, and we're working, we'll be there to respond to it if anything does leak out of it.
Klingenberg couldn't provide details about what assets will be used to respond to the capsized tender, but he confirmed the Coast Guard will be jointly working with Trident Seafoods. If fuel is found to be leaking from the Lone Star, the response will include booming off the vessel and using skimming equipment to collect any fuel in the water. Klingenberg notes that the vessel is being monitored. He says the Coast Guard is asking fishermen and others to help them monitor for pollution.
If somebody sees, some form of pollution or even forms of, like, harmed wildlife or anything like that, please report it, because, like I said, the Coast Guard's, number one priority is right now is going to be the safety of the responders and the safety of the environment in the area.
If you see any pollution, you can call Coast Guard Sector Anchorage at 907-271-6700. In response to the rollover of the Lone Star, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game has closed the entire set net fishery in the Igooshik section of the Nooshigak Commercial Fishing District immediately. Fish and Game also closed a large area around the mouth of the Igooshik River to drift net fishing. And we'll have more on the response to the incident coming up later in this edition of the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. And you're listening to KDLG's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Commercial fishermen in Bristol Bay hauled in another 1 million sockeye on Saturday to increase the total across the bay to over 9 million. In the Ugashik District, fishermen hauled in 205,000 sockeye on Saturday to increase the total to 1.6 million. In the Igigik District, 330,000 sockeye were harvested on Saturday. The total in the district is now over 2.8 million. And in the Naknek-Quijak District, Saturday's total was 320,000 sockeye to increase the district total to 2.6 million. In the Nooshigak District, the total was 215,000 sockeye, and the district total is now 1.8 million. Just 60 sockeye were harvested on Saturday in the Togiak District. Season total is now 19,300. Once again, the harvest in Bristol Bay has now totaled over 9 million. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game reports that on Saturday, on average, there were 1,081 sockeye per drift delivery in the Ugashik District. The number was 903 in the Igigik District, 593 in the Naknek-Quijak District, and 484 in the Nooshigak District. Fish and Game reports that there are currently 1,598 drift net permits registered to fish in Bristol Bay. 384 permits are registered in the Igigik District, 556 in the Naknek-Quijak District, 371 in the Nooshigak, 53 in the Togiak District, and 234 in the Ugashik District. The number of permits is expected to increase in 48 hours up to 1,670. That would put the total in Igigik at 399, 607 in the Naknek-Quijak District, 376 in the Nooshigak, 53 in the Togiak District, and 235 in the Ugashik District. Currently, there are 1,316 driftnet vessels registered to fish. 311 vessels are registered in Igigik, 456 in the Naknek-Quijak District. In the Nooshigak, it's 376, 53 in Togiak, and 235 in the Ugashik District. 311 in the Nooshigak District, 53 in the Togiak, and 185 in the Ugashik District. Once again, there are 1,316 drift vessels registered to fish. That's expected to increase to 1,366 in 48 hours. That would put the vessel count at 321 in the Igigik District, 491 in the Naknek-Quijak, 315 in the Nooshigak, 53 in Togiak, and 186 drift vessels in the Ugashik District. Currently, there are 282 D-boats registered to fish, 73 in Igigik, 100 in the Naknek-Quijak District, 60 in the Nooshigak, and 49 in the Ugashik District. That's expected to increase up to 304 D-boats in 48 hours. That would put the count at 78 in the Igigik District, 116 in the Naknek-Quijak, 61 in the Nooshigak, and 49 in the Ugashik District. Now, taking a look at the escapement numbers, For the Ugashik River, Saturday's escapement count was 24,900. The total is now 72,800. Fish and Game's estimating there are another 100,000 sockeye in the Ugashik River that have not yet been counted as escapement. For the Igigik River, Saturday's count was 89,200. That puts the total up to 603,500. And Fish and Game's estimating there are another 100,000 sockeye in the Igigik River that have not yet been counted as escapement. In the Naknek-Quijak District, escapement to the Quijack River was counted at 132.8 thousand on Saturday. Total is now 395.1 thousand. However, Fish and Game's reporting there are 300,000, or estimating, rather, that there are 300,000 sockeye in the Quijack River that have not yet been counted as escapement. The escapement number counted on Saturday for the Naknek River was 76.7 thousand. The total there is now over 407.4 thousand. In the Nooshigak District, for the Agushik River, the count Saturday was 7.1 thousand, and the total for the Agushik River is now over 163.7 thousand. For the Nooshigak River, the sockeye escapement was counted at 37.5 thousand. The total for the Nooshigak is now 695.5 thousand sockeye, and for the Wood River, another 47.7 thousand sockeye were counted Saturday to increase the total up to 812.8 thousand. Counting towers on the Togiak River are expected to become operational around July the 3rd. And currently, the total run to the Ugashik District, including catch and escapement, is 1.8 million, 3.5 million for the Igigik District, 3.7 million for the Naknek-Quijack District, 3.5 million for the Nooshigak, and just over 19,000 fish for the Togiak District. That puts the total run to Bristol Bay thus far through Saturday, including catch and escapement and the in-river estimates, at 12.6 million. Quick look at the sector splits in the Ugashik District. The split is 95.4% Ugashik drift, 4.4% Ugashik set. Igigik District, the split is 81.7% drift, 18.3% set. Naknek-Quijack District, Naknek-Quijack drift is 83.5%. Naknek set is 9.2%. Quijack set is 7.4%. In the Nooshigak District, the drifters have caught 83% of the fish, Igushik set netters 4.6%, and the Nooshigak set netters 12.4%. And the daily run summary can be found on the Alaska Department of Fish and Game Bristol Bay website. The run summaries are also posted at the Fish and Game offices in Dillingham and King Salmon. And the latest genetic stock composition estimates from the fish caught as part of the Port Muller test fishery show continued strength for sockeye bound for the Igigik and the Quijack Rivers. The estimates from the fish caught on June the 25th and the 26th show that 22.8% of the sockeye were headed to the Igigik River, 27.8% bound for the Quijack River, 11.5% of the sockeye showed a genetic signal for the Ugashik River, and 11.8% were bound for the Naknek River. For the Nooshigak District, the latest estimates show that 11.2% of the sockeye were bound for the Nooshigak River, 10.8% headed to the Wood River. Only 0.6% of the sockeye showed a genetic signal for the Agushik River. 1.3% of the analyzed sockeye showed a genetic signal for the Togiak River, and another 1.3% showed a signal for the Alagnak River. Fish and Game reports that 0.8% of the analyzed sockeye showed a genetic signal for the North Peninsula. Those fish were harvested on June the 25th and the 26th. Using a 6 to 9 day travel time, that puts the fish in the inshore district sometime this week. On Friday, Fish and Game also released the genetic stock composition estimates for the sockeye caught on June the 23rd and the 24th. Using a 6 to 9 day travel time puts those fish in the inshore district sometime today or in the next couple of days. 27.9% of the sockeye analyzed showed a genetic signal for the Naknek River, 22.2% were apparently headed to the Quijack River, and 22.7% of the fish were bound for the Igigik River, 8% were headed to the Ugashik River. 9.1% of the analyzed sockeye showed a genetic signal for the Wood River, 6.6% were apparently bound for the Nooshigak River, and just 1.3% were headed to the Agushik River, 1.9% were bound for the Alagnak. There was no genetic signal detected for Togiak River sockeye. The genetic stock composition estimates were generated using 380 sockeye caught between June the 23rd and the 26th as part of the ongoing Port Muller test fishery. Sockeye were analyzed at the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's Gene Conservation Laboratory in Anchorage. And the bad weather that has hit the Bristol Bay region has also impacted the ongoing Port Muller test fishery. Crew of the research vessel Pandelis couldn't fish on Saturday. It's unclear if they'll be able to fish today. That will leave some big holes in the data about what to expect over the next several days inshore. Catches as part of the test fishery did pick up on Friday after a couple of days of lower than expected catches. The test fishery is run by the Bristol Bay Science and Research Institute, which is a subsidiary of the Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation. Scott Rayburn is a data analyst with BBSRI. He says Friday's uptick in catches is not that unusual.
very often see a bimodal entry at Port Mueller. I don't know that that's what this is, but it could be, and it bodes very well for what's going to happen inshore.
In the interpretation of the catches that was issued Friday night, Raber noted that the uptick in the daily replacement index number from 26 on Thursday to 44 on Friday shifts the estimated day of peak passage at Port Mueller.
Yesterday's data point shifted the peak day of passage. It was about, I was estimating June 20.5, and now it's June 21.5, so somewhere around the 21st, 22nd. We still think it's early at Port Mueller, but it remains to be seen how early.
The Port Mueller test fishery is run in an effort to give stakeholders in Bristol Bay's commercial sockeye fishery a sense of what is just days away from the inshore districts. However, for the data to be truly useful for fishermen and processors, they need to know the travel time between the test fishery area and the inshore districts. Raber admits that it's difficult to pinpoint that travel time.
If you have very early peaks at Port Mueller, sometimes the travel time between Mueller and inshore will be extended, and it will sort of dampen the earliness inshore. So you have a very early peak on the 21st or 22nd at Mueller, sometimes you can get a 10 or even 11-day travel time. And that makes the peak inshore still early, but not as early as you would expect, not as early as Port Mueller.
Raeburn says a look at the genetics and the inshore catch and escapement seems to indicate a varying travel time for sockeye.
Seems to. I was looking at the latest round of the genetics, and the egig travel time, it's difficult to line up, but it's looking like 6 days to me. Naknek, Kwejek, maybe 6 days. Nishigak, 9 days. Ugashik doesn't really line up, or it's a very much longer travel time. I couldn't make sense of that one. Overall, my best guess inshore, I'm thinking maybe 9 days.
If the peak at Port Mueller was June the 22nd and you factor in a 9-day travel time, that puts the inshore peak on July the 1st, which is Monday. The Port Mueller test fishery got started on June the 10th and is scheduled to run through July 10th. Once again, the Port Mueller test fishery got weathered out on Saturday, and it looks likely the fishery might get weathered out again today. You're listening to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report here on KDLG.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible in part by AIFMA, the Alaska Independent Fishermen's Marketing Association, 1-800-816-3741.
The rollover of the Tender Lone Star this morning in the mouth of the Agushik River has prompted the Alaska Department of Fish and Game to close the set gillnet fishery in the Agushik section. Fish and Game also closed a large area around the mouth of the Agushik River to drift net fishing. Tim Sands is the area management biologist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
We're just doing this out of an abundance of caution, because we don't want any chance of any contaminated fish being caught, and we don't want people to have a chance of getting their gear contaminated and kind of losing the rest of their season because they don't have any gear left.
Sands confirmed that the Alaska Department of Fish and Game is working with the U.S. Coast Guard to assess the impact of the rolled-over tender on the ongoing sockeye salmon fishery in the Nooshigak District.
The most important thing is the danger of contaminated fish. If there is a significant spill in that area, obviously that can spread far and wide faster than we would be able to do anything about it, especially if things happen at night. So, you know, fishermen should just be cognizant of that potential. If they're out there and they smell fuel and they see sheens on the water, they need to get out of that area, and they need to really make sure that if they see that they're catching contaminated fish, they need to make sure that those fish are kept separate and delivered separately so that they don't contaminate anything else, and certainly that people know that they're contaminated, because it's a bad deal for everybody if those fish contaminate additional places and things up the chain, you know, be it tenders or whatever. So we just, everybody needs to be cognizant of the potential that's out there.
Once again, in response to the rollover of a tender in the mouth of the Agushik River, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game has closed the Agushik section to set net fishing effective immediately, and a large area around the mouth of the Agushik River is closed to drift net fishing effective immediately as well. Fish and Game confirms that they are monitoring the situation and will respond as needed. Details about the closed area are in the Fish and Game announcement for the Nooshigak District that was issued today at noon. Following a short battle with pneumonia, Ron Rawson from Kirkland, Washington, passed away on May the 17th. He was 84 years old. Rawson founded Ron Rawson Boats in 1959, initially building some of the first fiberglass sailboats on the West Coast. He then branched out to powerboats and eventually designed and built commercial fishing vessels used extensively in Alaska. Robin Samuelson from Dillingham remembers when the first Ron Rawsons arrived in Bristol Bay.
You know, most of the people around here had wood boats at the time. And there was a few fiberglass boats and a few aluminum boats. But Ron Rawson delivered to Bristol Bay a 32-footer Ron Rawson that at the time was about $19,000, a brand new boat. And it took off like wildfire. Nobody's seen a boat like that for Bristol Bay. It was good in rough seas. It was a shallow draft boat, so you could use it to haul fuel up to your village in the fall time, regardless of what the water level was. And it was a great all-around fishing boat, and he hit it on the nail when he designed the original Ron Rawson.
Rawson was known to be especially proud of working with Togiak fishermen to develop the 29-foot bow picker known as the Togiak Skiff, many of which are still in use. He also designed 38-foot seiners used in the Chignecks and, of course, the 32-foot gill netters that Samuelson says are seen fishing all over Bristol Bay even today.
They're excellent boats, and there's a lot of them fishing in every bay today. And you can see them being traded on Deck Boss. And not everybody can afford these big, fancy aluminum boats that are in excess of $400,000, $500,000. And still remain economically viable in the fishery. But if you get into the fishery and you need to buy a permit and you need a good used boat, a Rawson is a good used boat even today.
Rawson was born in Seattle, graduated from Washington State University with a chemistry degree, and he spent time in the U.S. Air Force. He spent his free time boating, skiing, and touring the world, often as a passenger on cargo ships. He is survived by his wife, Jenny, four children, and five grandchildren. A celebration of life service will be held later this summer. You're listening to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report here on KDLG. Listening to KDLG's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report, I'm Mike Mason. One of the most useful tools that fishermen, processors, managers, and others use to prepare for the sockeye headed to Bristol Bay's five commercial fishing districts is the ongoing Port Mueller test fishery. This year, the managers of the test fishery have started to look at the impact of net saturation on catches. Scott Rayburn is the data analyst for the test fishery.
And the idea is not that the net is full of fish and can't just catch anymore. It's that the fish hanging in the net spook the fish coming behind them, and they avoid it. So you get a behavioral response that lowers your catch rates. And so the longer you leave the net in the water, the lower your catch rates are towards the end of the set. And if the net fills up rather quickly in the early part of a 60-minute set, what you're doing by leaving the net in the water longer is not necessarily increasing catch, but increasing your effort. And when you divide catch by effort to get catch for your effort, it lowers your CPUE value and therefore your index.
For years, the managers of the Port Mueller test fishery have suspected that net saturation has impacted catches. If saturation is happening, especially during the peak passage days at Port Mueller, it could be skewing the projections of run timing and run magnitude. Rayburn confirms that the crew on board the research vessel Pandelis, which is the vessel used in the test fishery, did some tests this season.
What we decided to do is make a 60-minute set and then follow that immediately with a 20-minute set to see if this is occurring. And so if net saturation is occurring, catch feeder effort from a 20-minute set should be greater than catch feeder effort from a 60-minute set when you have overall greater catches. And that's what we seem to be finding.
The Port Mueller test fishery interpretation that was issued last Tuesday included some of the results of the net saturation experiment. The initial results indicate that net saturation begins to occur beyond a replacement index of 50. However, the test fishery manager stressed that more data is needed to better quantify this effect. Rayburn says the test fishery is set up in such a way that the crew on board the Pandelis don't have the time needed to consistently test the net saturation effect.
The crew has a full day as it is, and making those replicate sets is difficult, so we're just going to have a handful of data points. But it should give us some indication, and it's something to think about next year and years to come when we're designing a sampling protocol.
The ongoing Port Mueller test fishery got started on June the 10th and is scheduled to run through July the 10th. The Port Mueller test fishery is run by the Bristol Bay Science and Research Institute with help from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Saturday was another strong escapement day in the Nooshigak District as all three of the rivers have met their escapement goals. Another 47.7 thousand sockeye were counted as escapement to the Wood River. That pushes the total to 812.8 thousand fish. Another 74.5 thousand sockeye were counted through 6 o'clock this morning. That puts the Wood River escapement within the escapement goal of 700,000 to 1.5 million sockeye. The ADFNG area management biologist for the Nooshigak District is Tim Sands. He says the department is comfortable with where the escapement is at right now.
We kind of don't need as much as we're getting at this point. We want some escapement from all parts of the run, but we don't need 40, 50,000 a day. We'd be happy with 20 to 30 on each river, I think. But, you know, it is what it is, and we're going to continue fishing with this storm. I think we're going to actually do an extension with the drift fleet till tomorrow afternoon because we know that the fleet's less efficient when it's blowing hard like this. So we're looking at doing that at noon and trying to provide as much opportunity to harvest fish as we can.
Currently, the set net fishery in the Nooshigak District is open until further notice, and the drift net fishery has been extended until Monday afternoon at 5. At 9 o'clock this morning, there were 371 drift permits registered to fish in the district. That's expected to increase up to 376 permits in 48 hours. There are currently 311 drift vessels registered in the Nooshigak District. That's expected to increase up to 315 drift vessels in 48 hours. Currently, there are 60 D-boats registered to fish in the district. Saturday's commercial harvest in the district was 215,000 sockeye to increase the district total to 1.8 million. Currently, the drifters in the Nooshigak District have taken 83% of the harvest. Nooshigak section set netters have taken 12.4% of the harvest, and the Agushik section set netters have taken 4% of the harvest. The management plan for the Nooshigak District calls for the 74% of the catch to go to the drift fleet, 20% for the Nooshigak section set netters. The other 6% is set aside for the Agushik section set netters. Since all three of the rivers in the district have met their escapement goals, it's just a matter of time until the Department of Fish and Game waives the transfer restrictions. Sands explains when that can happen.
We don't waive the transfer period, and that's for people to come in from other districts or even for set netters to move around in this district until we reach the midpoint of escapement for all three rivers in the system. And, of course, we're not there yet. We have a ways to go for both the Wood and the Agushik systems.
The Nooshigak District is home to the largest king salmon run in Bristol Bay, and the run to the Nooshigak River is looking very good at the moment. Another 3,000 kings were counted Friday to push the total to 66.8 thousand fish. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game reports that the current projection is that the king escapement will exceed 120,000 fish, which is well above the escapement goal of 95,000 kings. The commercial fishing industry in Bristol Bay has a total value of about $1.5 billion a year and supports 12,000 or more jobs. Smaller and often overlooked is the sport fishing industry, which still accounts for an estimated $60 million in annual economic impact and supports somewhere near 1,000 jobs, mostly seasonally. Anglers from near and far come to Bristol Bay for world-class fishing, mostly targeting the abundant salmon and trophy rainbow trout. KDLG's Dave Binninger spoke with two lodge owners after this year's Bristol Bay River Academy on the effort to get more local hires into the lucrative industry.
The sport fishing industry in Bristol Bay is largely owned, operated, and for the most part enjoyed by outsiders. Guests pay between a couple of $1,000 for a week of fishing for kings at a tent camp riverside on the Nooshigak to up to $8,000 for the top-to-bottom catered week at one of the region's premier fly-out lodges. For the last 5 years, there's been an effort to raise interest with young folks in Bristol Bay about working in the industry that's thriving in their own backyard. What's now called the Bristol Bay River Academy trains a dozen or so students each summer, working out of an area lodge, usually just before the year's first clients arrive. The students learn a little about fly fishing, a lot about hospitality, and perhaps best of all, make contacts with lodge owners and guides that can help them get a foot in the door. This year's academy was run out of the Mission Lodge in Aleknagik, which on a side note was purchased by the Bristol Bay Native Corporation last year. On hand as the dozen students were graduating were Nancy Morris Lyon, the owner of the Alaska Sportsman's Bear Trail Lodge in King Salmon, and Pat Vermillion, whose Sweetwater Travel Company owns the Royal Coachman Lodge on Tikchik Lake. I spoke with both to find out what they think about getting more local kids into the industry. The first thing Vermillion says is that there's no way around it. Guiding in Bristol Bay is competitive.
I'm involved in the fishing business around the world, and this is one of the world-class fisheries and one of the neatest last wilderness locations in the world. And as a result, people love to be fishing guides here. It's a very competitive business. The best of the world want to come and guide here. So, yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that it is competitive, but at the same time, a program like this is essential because you have to open the door.
Once the door is open, the sport fishing industry has a variety of jobs to offer, from quick summers in between college semesters to more year-round to cover local hunting seasons, and even traveling the world with one's trade, as many guides do. Most of the sport fishing jobs in Bristol Bay last for 3 or 4 months through the summer. It's longer than commercial fishing, but probably has a similar payout.
It is good money, for sure. There are definitely people out there that have made a full career of just being fishing guides. It's that good enough. The money's that good that you can do enough side jobs to make it a full-time job. You don't have to do much else the rest of the 8 months, but you need to do a little bit. You need to have some other alternate source of income. Very similar to commercial fishing.
As a lodge owner, whose mission is to not just see clients have one good week of fishing, but hopefully to return year after year, Vermillion sees the value of having local kids as guides, even if sport fishing isn't exactly their bread and butter.
You want a nice, even mix. You might have the lower 48 guides that have just spent their whole lives fishing, and that's all they've known. But that's what a neat contrast to have that with the next person you go out guiding with has grown up his whole life in Bristol Bay and knows the history of the native culture and the salmon runs, and it just deepens the client's experience. And that's all of what brings people back, you know. It has to be a deep experience and unique, and that's what Bristol Bay is, and they help point it out.
Nancy Morris Lyon, who has helped teach the students at the academy for 5 years now, has pretty good credibility when it comes to Bristol Bay sport fishing.
I own and operate Alaska Sportsman's Bear Trail Lodge, and I've owned and operated that for the past 5 years, and I've been a guide in the area now for 30 years, and I've worked for myself most of the time and guided for some of the lodges a little bit of the time.
She's hired 2 past graduates of the academy and couldn't be more pleased.
I have 2 graduates already working for me, and I just hope and pray that one day I'll have more. I mean, I am very pleased with them. I get an incredible amount of feedback whenever any of my clients go out with them, and it's all positive. They all say that they've never had an experience like that before, and it has nothing to do with the fish. Nothing.
Morris Lyon says clients have raved about the experience of, say, fishing for silvers on the Nooshigak with someone born and raised in Neustiahok. Perhaps to appreciate that, you have to imagine getting whisked around on planes and boats for a week all over Bristol Bay, never really sure of where you're at or who lives in the area, and what sort of neat things happen here the other 11 months out of the year. Being able to fill in those blanks, says Morris Lyon, is something lodges are beginning to understand gives clients a better overall trip.
The lodges around here that have been around for a while are starting to realize the value of having local residents as their guides. In the pure fact that they have so much knowledge of the area, people are not looking just for that experience. You can find 100 fishing guides and 100 people that can fish well. But to give them the knowledge that they need to give a true Alaskan experience is, again, it's not something you can implant in somebody's brain. It's something that pretty much has to be there or learned over a long period of time. And these lodges recognize that, and they truly recognize the value of having a high-quality guide instead of just a good fisherman as a guide.
Another strength to the industry, she says, is that there is flexibility in the job market.
With the different companies that we have that are interested, each one has different needs, sometimes just for 2 weeks, sometimes for times that, you know, would be all summer. or just during college. But they're usually interested enough in taking kids out of this academy and trying to get them fit into their crew that they're willing to be a little bit flexible, which is very unique with lodges, and try to work them in during the time that'll work for them.
Which brings us back to the Bristol Bay River Academy. Vermilion's company runs a guide academy in Montana that costs close to $3,000 for a week of training. This one's free, sponsored by Trout Unlimited, the Alaska Conservation Foundation, and BBNC. Morris Lyon can't say enough about at least giving it a chance as an opening for a lucrative job, if not career.
I just encourage folks across Bristol Bay to please, if they know their children are interested in fishing and even are considering sport fishing, I really encourage them to take this because it'll give them an opportunity to give it a try, and then they can decide if they want to take it any further or not. And I just really like to think that, you know, this class is a great option for those who may not think college needs to be in the works in the very first years of graduation or anything like that, because we're committed to seeing it through for them, helping them get their Coast Guard license, and just making sure that if they truly want to make it, they will. I mean, we've actually now got 7 lodges, plus my own is 8, that are interested in hiring these guides the minute they're qualified, and that's pretty good, you know, odds for them.
For the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report, I'm Dave Benninger.
And that concludes today's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. It can be found online at kdlg.org. And if you have something to add to our show, including corrections, tips, or even background information, just send me an email. The address is mike@kdlg.org. And please join me on Friday afternoon at 4 for the next Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Until then, please be safe, watch the weather, and good fishing.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth in the world's greatest salmon fishery. Through investments in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality, the Bristol Bay RSDA, we are on board with you.